Broadcasting from your favorite breakfast spot, you're listening to the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Who knew? No, this is not hard to follow the Knicks because you guys do amazing work at Connecticut Renaissance. Joining me now is CEO Kathleen Duchesne. And Kathleen, welcome to WICC.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
Your first radio interview. That wasn't so hard. Look at the Chief talked about coming in at 3 a.m. So
right?
you're golden.
Right?
You got a full night's sleep.
I did.
So,
I did.
You got a one-up.
I was watching from the comfort of my couch.
See? There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And then you didn't have to come in at 3 a.m.
Right.
So you got the one-up on him. You're all good. Kathleen, talk about Connecticut Renaissance. What is it that you guys do?
Sure. We're a behavioral health and criminal justice organization. We have programs throughout Connecticut. We have 10 programs in between Fairfield County and New Haven County. And we have a wide variety of programs. We have an outpatient clinic. We have community programs for adolescents who are involved in the court system. We have residential programs for men returning to the community from incarceration. And then we also have residential treatment programs for people who have substance use issues or mental health and substance use. And then we also have a gambling program.
Wow. And I know you have a location here in Bridgeport, but you have several locations, right?
We have 10 altogether. We have two here in Bridgeport. We have our Maple Street program, which is serving 61 men coming back to the community from prison. And then we also have our Link program. Link is LYNC, linking youth to natural community. And that's for adolescents who have had maybe one or two brushes with the law. And it's sort of like an alternative to incarceration where we're trying to steer kids in a more positive direction and away from a life of crime.
Mm.
So we work with the kids, we work with the families, and try to connect them to kind of social activities in the community.
I have to, and again, I don't want to say I have any idea, Kathleen, because you're seeing it firsthand, you and your team at Connecticut Renaissance, but I would imagine just from a news standpoint, between just economically how much people have struggled, the pandemic, obviously we're still feeling the effects of that afterwards, but even I know here in Connecticut we see a lot of youth crime that does go on. So have you found that you guys are busier than you typically have been, or kind of what are you seeing?
I think, you know, just to sort of piggyback off of what Reverend Smith was saying earlier, there are cuts everywhere, so people are losing their food benefits, or, you know, SNAP has been cut, Medicaid is being cut, and that puts people in a desperate situation. And sometimes people do resort to criminal activity to feed themselves or their families, or just, you know, take care of their daily needs. So we're definitely seeing an increase. I think that, you know, sometimes the kids are coming from a home where maybe the parents had been incarcerated, or there's some mental health issues or gang involvement. So sometimes the kids are kind of just falling in line with what they know. It's what's familiar. Especially here in Bridgeport, there are a lot of sort of neighborhood gangs. They're not traditional gangs. They're sort of like groups of people that are watching each other's back and trying to keep each other safe. And so sometimes that affiliation, it's hard to steer kids away from that because that's a form of protection for them.
So what are some of the things when you say, you know, Link, for example, that you brought up before, which sounds amazing. What exactly do you do for the people impacted or part of that program?
So there's a certain curriculum that we follow that's like it's very scripted. It's a program that's funded by the Court Supported Services Division of the Judicial Branch. And so we follow, you know, very specific curriculum and how to help the kids. And there's individual and group settings. They're bringing the kids out into the community and connecting them with YMCAs and other community support systems. And then bringing the kids together with the family and trying to help them as a unit so that the kids have the parents' support as well.
And so I know you had mentioned that there's a program here that is for adult males,
mm-hmm.
and then you have another program that is more for youth. Is it each location is a different program, or is it that it's like the same programs just serving that population in that town or city that you're in?
Yeah, there's a different service line. So
okay.
Our work release programs, we have one here in Bridgeport that serves 61 men, and then we have two up in Waterbury that together serve 109 men.
Wow.
And so there we have case managers, we have job developers. We're helping the guys, it's all for men. We're helping them to reintegrate into the community. You know, sometimes after 5, 10, even 30 plus years incarcerated. So imagine having been in prison 30, 40 years ago. You're coming out to a whole different environment, a whole new technology. We recently had to teach someone what an iPhone was and how to use. He didn't know how to turn it on.
Right.
So there's such a huge learning curve. Mm. And then it's also, you know, there's trauma with having been incarcerated for that long. And it's so learning how to live in the community, how to go about getting a job, which all of that has very much changed as well. Everything's online. There's no, you know, there's no paper application anymore.
Right.
So it's teaching some of those basic fundamentals. And then, you know, helping people to learn how to interview, how to dress for the interview, how to take responsibility for themselves, which is a big transition when you're coming back out. And, you know, eventually we're looking to transition people into their own apartments, into completely independent living.
Right. Well, and, you know, and to some degree, I would imagine that is probably one of the toughest populations to, I would think, get support for. Because, you know, we naturally as humans, you know, we think, okay, well, you did time in prison, so I'm not going to involve myself, or I'm not going to engage with that, or I'm not going to give grace. And again, I know that's open to interpretation, and obviously all crimes are different, but I think the fact is that your organization is seeing that, okay, but if we don't want repeat offenders, or we don't want people to just feel like the rest of their lives are wasted once they are out behind, you know, from behind bars, that there are people that are there to help you put the pieces back together.
Right.
I think there's something to be said about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what's the alternative? Somebody comes back out and they have no support services, and they're likely going to get right back into the life that led them to prison in the first place. So it is hard for people to empathize with somebody who's committed a crime. But, you know, I think about this one particular person who ended up working for the organization. He was 11 years old. He had a dad who was a drug dealer, and he was out on the street at 11 selling drugs. And if he didn't make a certain amount of money, he didn't bring that home, he didn't eat that night. You know, he watched his dad beat his mom. It was a horrible, horrible home environment. And so sometimes people will say to me, like, you have a choice in life. You know, you take the good path or the bad path. But this, you know, some of these people don't have choices. That's the life you need to lead in order to survive in your household.
Well, and perspective matters. I mean, and I think if we could remember back to 11 years old, the people that we were still looking up to and that were guiding our light were probably our guardians, aka our parents.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it's easy. It's very easy for people from the outside looking in to cast judgment on. And again, I know every case is different, but I think there's something to be said about an organization that is saying, hey, you know, there is support.
Right.
I think that's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that our tagline is reclaim your life. Mm. And so what we're doing is trying to help people come out and find a new way and start over and live a healthy, positive life. And we're there to instill hope that that's possible.
Well, Kathleen, I want to thank you and your entire team at Connecticut Renaissance for what you do. CEO, do you have a website?
Yes, it's ConnecticutRenaissance.org. We are funded by the state of Connecticut. We also receive Medicaid services, our fee-for-service services, and we really rely on support of our donors. So there's a donate tab if people are interested in supporting mental health, addiction, or criminal justice services. Welcome the support.
That's amazing. And Kathleen, again, thank you so much for what you and your team do at Connecticut Renaissance. And thanks for joining the Diner Tour.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
You're so welcome. We're going to be right back with the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour after this.